coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast. As always, we continue to tell you something good, positive news and notes from around the Lions organization. Then we go on the ball and defend the Den as we look at the performances from the week one preseason game versus the Patriots. Then we have an all-pride profile on a Hall of Fame Lions legend. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast. Here comes the roar.
What up, though? And welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast. This is Kurt Steele. And as always, I got my man, Shawnee J.
Hey, Curtis. How you doing, Lions fans? We're going to try to find some good silver lining out of last week, some bad game. It's only preseason for one, so I'm not going to panic this yet.
Not this yet. So, as always, as we do at this time, it is time to tell me something good. Now, I'm going to go first this week with my tell me something good. I have the biggest news coming out of training camp for the Lions, Trey Flowers. We got him back in the lineup for the rest of the training camp and hopefully headed into the season. And another thing, SiriusXM was at camp this weekend and Bob Quinn presented the legendary Hall of Famer GM Gil Brandt with a Hall of Fame Lions jersey at practice on Saturday. Gil Brandt, if you don't know who he is, I don't like the Cowboys, but this guy revolutionized how GM scout players now. He used computers. This is in the late 60s, early 70s. They started using computers for the Dallas Cowboys to scout players, and he's revolutionized scouting players and being a GM. So big shout out to Bob Quinn for recognizing Gil Brandt at Lions practice. Shawnee J, what you got?
Yeah, tell me something good. Well, I'm glad that Matthew Stafford didn't play that game against the Patriots last week. I didn't get sacked at all. And I mean, it's preseason game. We'll get into that more offensive line when I take over the offense. But, you know, there's not much to take good, but, you know, like I said, none of the starters were hurt. That's not a good thing. Even though we did suffer some injuries, like, it's not good. Jermaine Curse has lost for a season. He got hurt in the opening series. It's not something good, but, you know, I wish him a speedy recovery. And as you mentioned, Lem Burney, the Hall of Famer, was at practice. You know, he gets there to give us yearly encouragement to the guys, the pep talk. You know, Lions, us against the world, we can use all the help we can get. It doesn't hurt us to have a Hall of Famer coming in and giving you a pep talk. He's been through the battles. He's one of the best players in Lions history. And a matter of fact, for my Lions profile this week, I'm going to profile another legend. I'm going to tease y'all, let y'all wait to find out who it is.
So that's tell me something good for this week. Now, as we always do at this time, it is time to go on the ball. And Shawnee J, break down what you saw from the offense versus the Patriots in the preseason game.
Well, to be honest, I love my Lions, but I didn't see much at all last week. They kind of moved the ball. They couldn't protect the quarterback. We couldn't get a fair evaluation on either Tom Savage or David Fales. As a matter of fact, Savage, you know, he suffered a concussion in that game, and he's been out for a while. And of course, the Lions are going to sign another quarterback. Josh Johnson, a long-time, 11-year veteran. It's funny, he's been like a long-time backup. He's been with the Lions since 13, 15, he's been with. And I never even heard of the guy until the Lions signed him. But, he's been around for a while. We're on a block. I understand he started the last three games for the Redskins last week, and we may need him. The offensive line, their starters in the play a brief series, you know, one quick series, and the rest is the backup side. It's, you know, the preseason is a time to test your depth. The depth didn't look good last week. That disappointed me. Like, some of the backup guys, like Terrell Crosby, didn't look good. You know, a lot of guys were high on him. He suffered a concussion himself. Kenny Wiggins, you know, we talked about him. His PFF score, he played well his last game games. He didn't look good his preseason game. And
right,
offensive line got to get together. But I did see a couple good things. I like the running back, Ty Johnson. He looks very promising, you know.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why they let Theo Riddick go. And, of course, you know, I feel bad that Theo suffered a shoulder injury that came out 6-8 weeks in Denver. But it was time to move on. So Ty Johnson was a bright spot, otherwise dismal game. You know,
yes, he was.
Scored 3 points, and they don't come to play in the game. Mm-hmm. The offense didn't do much. But one disappointment, I didn't see my boy Bo play last week. I turned the game off early unless he played the final series or something. He didn't play Bo, and I'm going to tell you, I'd rather keep Bo over either Kenny Wiggins or a Boucher. You know, he sees young, got potential. If you don't start right away, I'd rather keep my man Bo because of, you know, I got some man left for Bo. Yeah, Millie, I do. But this guy, he has credentials coming out of college, and he's a youngster. And I'd rather keep him over one of your veterans, Boucher or Kenny Wiggins. That's just me.
I got you. Just to kind of piggyback off what you said, Ty Johnson was definitely a bright spot, blazing speed. He had 3 carries for 22 yards, averaging over 7 yards per carry for the game. Brandon Powell really kind of showed up as well. He had 2 targets. He caught both of them for 22 yards. He showed some promise there. One play I saw in particular, it was early in the game. Tom Savage had a good play action to Jesse James. I think it was that second drive of the game where it was kind of a rollout, and you had kind of a stack formation where the tight ends, you had one deep, one short. Savage made a good pass to Jesse James, who was the further receiver down the field. If you look at that, this is what I kind of see going forward for the offense. A lot of play action, some rollouts. That's what I saw coming from the offense.
Yeah.
And they gave up 9 sacks, man. 6 in the first half alone. That was not good for the backup offensive linemen. They really didn't play that well. Okay. Now, I know it's probably some vanilla offensive play calling, but they got to do better than that. Now, one thing I will say, Jamie Collins was wrecking shop, right? Jamie Collins is a starting linebacker in the NFL. You know, he's just came back to the Patriots from Cleveland. He's a starting caliber defensive end/linebacker. To put him up against some of those guys he was playing against really wasn't fair. You know what I'm saying? So I really didn't expect those guys to play to fare that well against him. That's just my opinion. But what you got, man?
Well, yeah, but if you want to be an NFL player and you want to start in the NFL and get paid like big money in the NFL, you got to be able to play against the best in the NFL, the Jamie Collins of the world and other guys. And offensive line, I love the offensive line. You know how big I am on the offensive line. They really disappointed me. I know this is one preseason game, so I didn't lose my head, but I was still a little disappointed. But if the offensive lineman, you know, if they expect to be in the NFL, they want to become a starter one day. They want to get paid. They got to be able to block guys like a Jamie Collins. They got to face the best. They got to go against the best. And you got to compete against the best. If you want a job in the NFL, or as Jerry Glanville once put it, not for long league, which it really is when you think about it. It's true. That's just a true statement. And as poorly as the offensive line played Thursday, you don't get to the defense. The defensive line play even poorly, and I'll let you handle that part of it.
I get what you're saying with the offensive linemen. They haven't played against that type of caliber player yet. The injuries in the Lions defense right now, the defensive line, they probably weren't going to see that caliber player, but I get what you're saying. Next man up, they got to step up and play. But now it is time to defend the den. Now let's talk about the defense. Woo, some rough stuff. Let's start with some positive stuff first. We got to see Darius Slay on the field. They didn't throw his way. You know, he didn't do much. He just kind of, he made a tackle or something where the running back got over to his side of the field. However, he was there. That was good to see him on the field. Darius Slay is going to do big things for the season. I can already see it.
He also has a cool commercial that he aired several times during the game.
I actually saw it on the replay here in North Carolina. They didn't show a lot of the local commercials. They kind of flashed in. I'll follow him on social media. I know he has that Lefty's store, was a restaurant or something, and he's going to be actually opening one up here in the near future.
Yes.
He's so,
on the Howies, yes.
Now, Tyve, my man Tyve, because he was the starter in there, he's got to get off blocks better. You know, he's got to get off blocks quicker. I know when he's playing out there in that Mountain West Conference in Hawaii, it's, you know, it's probably a little easier to get off some of those blocks from those linemen. You got to get off quicker to make plays. Your man, Jamal Agnew, struggled. Bruh, struggling in coverage. My man missed a tackle trying to strip a ball out. And that running back ended up getting the first down. Jamal Agnew had a tough game. He had a really tough game. The defensive line did not pressure the quarterback at all. No sacks recorded for the game. Another bright spot, the Viper position. So people ask me what the Viper position is. It's your oversized safety or small linebacker. And for this game, it was kind of split between Tavon Wilson and Killebrew. And those guys made a lot of tackles. Killebrew played a really good game. The only thing I really say was bad about him is that he got burnt in coverage. But he's been playing with the linebacker, so he has to kind of adjust with that. But he had a really good game, solid tackles for Miles Killebrew. There's a lot of missed tackles. I know that word out of Allen Park is they were trying to cause more turnovers for this season. And they were doing a lot of activities where trying to punch the ball out or strip the ball out. And those lack of fundamentals show in the missed tackles during that game because they were trying to strip the ball out and not making tackles. They weren't being solid with their tackles.
No, they weren't.
So there's a few bright spots for tacklers. Andrew Adams, he can stick pretty good. He was doing his thing. D. Virgin is a backup corner. And with the release of Marcus Cooper, he was kind of showing his stuff. D. Virgin played a very good game. And that second and third string secondary, bruh, they were struggling in coverage. I don't know if it was a communication breakdown or just for the fact that they hadn't worked as a core group yet. I don't know what it was, but that secondary, the second and third string secondary, they were struggling in coverage. The Patriots moved the ball up and down the field. Now, I will say this about Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer is a starting level quarterback in the NFL. He started before. Like you said earlier in the show, doesn't matter. You have to step up and play the competition that you are facing. But Brian Hoyer facing some of those young secondary, we know they haven't seen a lot of that stuff. And Amani Arorie.
Good game, yeah.
He has some solid plays, but he also struggled as well. So that's what I got for the defensive side. My man, Shawnee J, what did you see?
Yeah, as poorly as offensive line play, giving up 9 sacks. The defensive line is disappointing just as much. They couldn't get any sacks at all. I mean, I always say that football games are won the trenches on the offensive and defensive lines. And neither line played well, and that was the deciding factor. I mean, they made a couple of nice run stuff, which they did, but they couldn't get no pressure on the quarterback, New England quarterback. They let New England quarterbacks had all day to throw and look for a second, third read. That disappointed me, you know. So both lines need to play better. We got to protect that quarterback better and pressure the opposing quarterback much better than we did there on the first game. But once again, tell me something good if I go back to that. It was the first preseason game. Nobody remembers this when this real thing starts.
With that, the tell me something good, I get you. Nobody's gonna remember this stuff. It's preseason. My thing, and there's kind of a little conspiracy theory kind of going around on the Twitterverse, is that Matt Patricia really wanted the team to be very, very vanilla. So he wanted it to be – now, he was upset about some of the lack of fundamentals, but he really wanted to – he really wants to fly under the radar. So I don't think he really wants to show anything with that first preseason game. Hopefully, when it comes to the season and we go out to Arizona that week one, there's a lot better showing because preseason means nothing. 2008, we were the preseason champs. We're 4-0. We're 0-16 in the season.
Exactly. So, that's the prime example. Plus, you don't get your players hurt trying to win a preseason game. Or else, if you get your star players hurt, you'll be grilled and second-guessed to death in the media and on social media like Twitterverse and all these other groups.
Right. I definitely saw some I did see a lot of stars playing on some of the other teams. And I was surprised that they were actually getting some run in that first preseason game. You usually don't see starters in the first preseason game. You'll see them probably a series or two in the second one, and then the dress rehearsal the third, and usually don't see them at all the fourth preseason game. Now, here's a positive for me for the preseason game. You have 5 penalties for 52 yards versus 12 for 132 for the Patriots. That was a really positive thing for that. Showed some discipline, didn't get a lot of penalties, even though a lot of second and third string players were playing in the game. Overall, gave up too much offense. They only had 93 yards of total offense on the offensive side of the ball, 72 rushing and 21 passing. This is because of the fact we gave up so many sacks in the game. And we only got 8 first downs. So let's move on. It is time for 2 points conversing. Sonny J, what you got for this week, my man? What you want to talk about?
I'll talk about something I put on the post in our Lions group this Sunday. It's very controversial. You know, our backup quarterback situation is kind of tenuous at best. I mean, Tom Savitt, you know, has a history of concussion, suffer another one. The preseason game against the Patriots, it's going to be out for a while. We got David Fales, who didn't do much, you know, in the game, even though, like I said, the offensive line did him no favor. He still didn't do too much. And we just signed another journeyman in Josh Johnson, who, like, the Lions' 13th team he's been with in some NFL career. One guy I brought up that caused a firestorm, he's still very divisive and controversial figure, is Mr. Colin Kaepernick. Now, Cap hasn't played since 2016. From all accounts, his body is still in excellent shape. He's working out, you know, still working out over the past few years. He's in a tip-top physical shape. He's from, you know, practicing his throws and his fundamentals, his panic, waiting for that phone call. I said, well, you know, should the Lions give Colin Kaepernick that phone call, at least bring him for a workout to see if he offers anything more than what we have as for the backup role? Will he ever play again in the NFL for anyone? Will he ever sign up? Will he ever play in the NFL? Should the Lions sign him a call or workout?
Well, I would say, and this is just me, he's a viable NFL quarterback who has a winning record. I know his last season in NFL wasn't that great, but actually the system that he was in with Chip Kelly wasn't that great, but he still had an impressive touchdown to interception ratio. I think he's a decent NFL quarterback. People are going to have some issue with the kneeling. He said he's done with that already. He's already settled that with the NFL. I say work him out. Here's the thing. If people, to the people who are naysayers and say, whatever they need to, want to say about him, you don't know him personally. Do you know the causes that he was trying to stand up for? Do I agree with everything he did? No. However, I have respect for his right to do the things that he did, freedom of speech. I have a definitely respect for that. I'm a former soldier, and I always fought to defend the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution says people have a right to free speech. So that's what I'm going to say about that. I'm going to get off of that. I don't want to get into really kind of that political debate. However, I say if he's ready and he's willing, he's able-bodied, why not work him out? Why not give him a shot? It's the type of offense where he would flourish in as a backup. A lot of rollouts, a lot of things that are be mobile. And that's what type of quarterback he was and the type of system that he flourished in San Francisco before Jim Harbaugh left. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with him getting a shot on any team, even the Lions. People are going to have their political issues and political views to say what they want to say. However, people have the right to their own opinion. I'm not here to say who's right and who's wrong. I'm just saying if he's viable, give him a shot, you know, give him a chance. People have difference of opinions. You can't just blackball someone because of their opinion. That's just me. I'm just saying.
And here's one thing that before we move on. If the backup quarterbacks don't play any better this week than they did last week, I wouldn't be surprised if Bob Quinn made the bold move, give him a call, at least bring him in for a workout to see what kind of shape he's in. That's Cap.
Right. Now, one thing that's indirectly to do with this topic, have you seen the news today that came out of the NFL offices? The NFL has partnered with one of its biggest critics on that Kaepernick social justice issue. The NFL has partnered with Jay-Z and Roc Nation for a social justice initiative. It has came out of the league offices today that Jay-Z is going to partner with the NFL. He's going to be using his music platform and the platform with the NFL for social justice causes. And he's actually going to be involved with the musical aspect throughout the season to include the upcoming Super Bowl. He has not spoke with Cap yet because, you know, he's one of Cap's biggest supporters. He declined to do the Super Bowl a couple of years ago because of the fact that situation with Kaepernick. What I see is that the NFL really had to look at their players and how the league is constructed, which a good 70-75% of the league is African-American, has had dealt with or is dealing with some of those social issues. I'm an African-American male. Have I had to deal with some of those social issues? Yes, I have. Is it fun? No, it's not. And it's real. And Champ Bailey said one thing in his Hall of Fame speech that I really like. He said, when your Black friends tell you about the issues that they deal with, listen, because it's real. Social injustice is real. Racism is real. Bias is real. It is real. Sexism, racism, all that stuff is real. So if someone comes to you and tells you that they have an issue or something's going on with them, please just listen. It'll help make society a better place. And that's my soapbox for that. I'm going to get off of that. But shout out to the NFL for recognizing that everything isn't always black and white. You have to do something to make a change. So big shout out to the NFL. That's all I got for 2 Points Conversing. Do you have anything else for the week? Oh, no, I have one more thing. I'm sorry. I did a poll in the Detroit Lions Diehards Facebook group. I asked the question, do you think that the Lions are a playoff team? We got a good amount of responses, just a little over 200. I got 137 yes, 12 no, and 61 too soon to tell. Thank you for those individuals, if you're listening, who participated in the poll on the Diehards fan page on Facebook. Do you have anything else for 2 Points Conversing this week, my man?
I just want to say after you gave a good, you know, 2 Point Conversion on Jay-Z, and this may be Cap's best year or best opportunity to get back in the NFL. Maybe Jay-Z will influence some teams to, you know, take a chance on Kaepernick, take, at least take a look at him and see, work him out to see if he still has it, what kind of conditioning he is, can he still throw the ball, if he's still accurate, put him to the drills, put him to the ringer, see what he's got, at least give the man a chance.
Right. Hey, if you look at Kaepernick, the guy has done some great social things, as in, like, he's given to the less fortunate. He sold off his, like, very expensive sneaker collection to give money to the homeless. He donated suits to individuals that in low-income environments that needed to have suits for jobs. And he's done a lot of stuff. So don't just think that you can't just take his protest as who he is. It's so much more to who that person is than what you may disagree with. Now it is time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have an outcry profile from Shiny J. So we're back. And now it is time for an outcry profile by one Shiny J. Shiny J, who you got this week?
This week, I want to talk about a Lions legend who I think is one of the more underrated players in the NFL history who doesn't get the credits due, and that is one Mr. Dick LeBeau. The Lions' all-time leading interceptor was 62, and those 62 interceptions, all the Lions, still rank 7th overall in NFL history. He's a four-time Pro Bowler with the Lions. He played 14 seasons with us, 1959 through 1972. Only missed a handful of games, so he's very durable at the cornerback and safety positions. He was originally drafted out of Ohio State. I still love you, Dick. By the Cleveland Browns, but he was cut in training camp. And I think Cleveland have been kicking themselves ever since because the Lions got a gift. He's one of our best players. He's more, after his Lions career ended, he's more known for his career as an assistant coach, as he was hired, continuously employed by the NFL as an assistant coach role. He only got, you know, his best years probably perhaps came in Pittsburgh, where he developed the infamous zone blitz in Pittsburgh. He won 2 Super Bowl rings with the Steelers. You know, his Hall of Fame speech, he obviously went as a Lion, and that's the only thing you play for. And he says he's very proud of his Lions years. He's proud of what he accomplished, and won't take back his Lions years because he had some pretty good teams. Back in those days, it was even tougher to make the playoffs, as you know, fewer teams, and there were as many playoff spots. They had some pretty good teams back in the day, you know, him and Joe Schmidt and Alex Harris and Roger Brown and other guys, you know. And also, he only had one shot as a head coach. That came with Cincinnati between 2000 and 2002, but he didn't do so well as a head coach as he finished with a 12-33 record overall. But still, Dick DeBoer is still the man. He's a Hall of Famer. And that's my Lion profile for this week.
All right. Shout out to my man, Dick LeBeau, doing big things. Always liked him. He set the stage for Lions cornerbacks in the secondary for today. Now it is time for Now You Know.
What up, doe? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to this week's edition of Now You Know. This week, we're going to look at illegal formations and what the rule is and what the penalty is for illegal formation. So let's hop to it. Rule summary. Rule 7, Section 5, Article 1, for the offense states, the offensive team must be in compliance with the following at the snap. 1. A, it must have 7 or more players on the line. 2. Eligible receivers must be on both ends of the line, and all of the players on the line between them must be ineligible receivers. Under NFL rules, players are numbered for eligibility. Tight ends and wide receivers must be on the end of the line of scrimmage in order to be an eligible pass receiver. If a wide receiver is on the line of scrimmage and a tight end is inside of him, an illegal formation has occurred because another eligible receiver has covered the eligible tight end. The formation will be illegal if the wide receiver would drop off the line of scrimmage so that he is in a direct line with the tight end. All right, let's break it down. You must have 7 players on the line of scrimmage. However, one of the most common fouls is when a wide receiver is lined up on the line of scrimmage, and so is the tight end. Simple fix. The wide receiver takes a step back from the line of scrimmage, or the tight end lines up a step back behind the line of scrimmage, as long as 7 players are on the line of scrimmage at the snap of the ball. Number 3, no player may be out of bounds. This is a common sense rule. You cannot have a player lined up out of bounds and it be a legal formation. The penalty for illegal formation by the offense is a loss of 5 yards. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Rule number 9, Section 1, Article 3 for the defense states, Item 1, punt formation. When Team A, the offense, presents a punt formation. 1, A team, which is the offense, B player, which is a defensive player, who is within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage, must have his entire body outside the snapper's shoulder pads at the snap. This means the defensive player cannot line up directly over the long snapper when the offense is punting the ball. The long snapper is a defensive player and cannot have anyone lined up directly over him. Item 2, field goal or try kick formation. When Team A, the offense, presents a field goal or try kick formation. 1, A team, which is the offense, B player, a defensive player, who is within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage, must have his entire body outside the snapper's shoulders, pads at the snap. Same thing for a field goal or a point after try. A defensive player cannot line up directly over the long snapper when there is a field goal or kick try formation. The long snapper is a defensive player and cannot have anyone lined up directly over them. 2, no more than 6 Team B players, which is a defense, may not be on the line of scrimmage on either side of the snapper at the snap. This means a defense cannot overload one side of the line of scrimmage with players to block a field goal or extra try attempt. The penalty for this illegal formation by the defense is a loss of 5 yards. There you have it. Illegal formations. If you don't know, now you know. Like my man Biggie Small said, baby, baby. Now let's get back to the Die Hard Den podcast.
All right, we're back from Now You Know. It's time for us to get on out of here. Shawnee J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
You can find me, I'm mainly on Facebook, Yep, Sean Jennings. I'm also the minister of the Detroit Lions Truth fan group. Send me a request if you want to join that group. As Curtis knows, I keep the group well up there, all everything Lions, everything to know about the Lions. I keep you up, and with the season started, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I am also in the Detroit Lions Truest Fans and just got an upgrade. I am now a conversation starter in the group. However, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CurtisSteele14 on both. CurtisSteele14. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter at DieHardDenPodC1. If you want to email the show, the email for the show is dieharddenpodcast@gmail.com. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show. If you tune in next week, you will hear us break down the Lions' second preseason game with the Houston Texans. For Shawnee J, this is Curtis Steele, and we out.